And now, O Lord, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of all of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock, our strength, and our redeemer. If through the words of this human being we do not hear your voice, O God, we ask you to speak to each of us here in the quietness of the heart. Amen. For the past couple of weeks, we've been tracking storms. This from Hurricane Harvey to Hurricane Irma to now keeping our eye on Hurricane Jose in the Caribbean. We have been surrounded by storms and the aftermath of storms. And yes, there has been great destruction. There has been great loss. There's been great heartache. Yet, if you look closely in the news, you also will find, and sometimes you have to search a little bit, you also find really, really good news amid all of the bad news around storms. Stories of people helping each other, going out of their way, making great sacrifices to see that their neighbor is taken care of. And one of the stories that, if you haven't seen it yet, I encourage you to go look it up. The Washington Post had this headline, "Chainsaw Wielding Nun Takes Matters Into Her Own Hands." And sure enough, Sister Margaret Ann of Miami, Florida, who lived in a convent and was the principal of a nearby high school, walked outside after Hurricane Irma was gone, saw a downed tree in the road and all these branches and all these limbs. So she went inside and decided she was going to do something about it. So she went on Google and typed in how to use a chainsaw. And then she found a chainsaw and went out and just started chopping one limb after another. And a police officer rode by and saw her. And I forgot to mention the best part of this. Sister Margaret Ann was wearing her nun's habit as she wielded that chainsaw on the Miami road. And a police officer comes by and says, "Hey, sister, you know, we were going to take care of that. You don't have to worry with it." And she said, "Oh, I'll bet you're real busy. It's going to take you a long time to get to it. So I'll just work out here and I'll take care of this." Well, some other people joined her, and for 3 hours, wearing her nun's habit, Sister Margaret Ann did what she could, clearing one branch at a time, one limb at a time, one piece of the tree at a time, until eventually the road was cleared. When Peter says to Jesus in today's passage in verse 21, "Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often should I forgive? 7 times? And Jesus looks at him and says, "Oh no, 70 times 7 or 77 times, depending on which translation you read." And you know, when we think about forgiveness, when we think about the grudges, the resentments, the wrongs that have been done, that we feel like have been done to us, when we think about the things that we cannot forgive ourselves for, that guilt and condemnation that we're hanging on to, if we're looking at all of those things, it probably looks like the sight that Sister Margaret Ann saw on the road that day, where it looked like there was no end in sight with the branches on the road. And many of us could look at those grudges, those resentments, that bitterness, that unforgiveness, and say, "It's too much. It's too deep. I can't handle all of this." But when Peter asks this question, he's probably thinking the same thing. But what Jesus answers him to do is basically say, you forgive, then you forgive again, then you forgive again, and then you forgive again, and you just keep on forgiving. And when we do that, when we choose each day, when we choose each hour to forgive ourselves, to forgive our brother and our sister, it may not seem like much, but it's like chopping down one of those branches from that tree blocking the road. Every time we choose forgiveness with Sister Margaret Ann, we are clearing the roadway of life. We are clearing the road between our relationship with God and our relationship to each other. And yes, forgiveness can be overwhelming, because it is overwhelming. The parable that Jesus tells us today shows at what great price our salvation was bought. In the parable, Jesus tells us about a man, he calls him a slave actually in today's translation, who owed 10,000 talents. Just to give you an idea of what this is, one talent was 15 years of wages for this man, for this slave. And Jesus is basically saying here, he's got an insurmountable debt. There is no way he can pay this back.
It's not just one tree down in the road. It's a whole forest blocking all of the roads leading anywhere. And when the king says to him that he's going to take his very life away and his family, and the man pleads with him and he begs him, please, to spare him and to have patience with him, and he'll pay everything. And verse 27 tells us, out of pity for him, the king released him and forgave him the debt. Friends, that's what Jesus did for us on the cross. Took a debt we could not pay and gave his very life so that we could be saved from our sins. We could be forgiven and set free, as Rachel sang beautifully for us earlier. And then because we have been forgiven, and as we are forgiven by God, we must forgive each other. Every week when we come together in worship, there are certain parts of our service that are the same from week to week. Now, there may be some things that I could take out of there, and you may not even notice that it was gone. I've even taken a few things out since I've been here for a little bit over a year, and there hasn't been much notice. But I tell you this, if I took the Lord's Prayer out, everybody would know, and I would hope you would call me out on it, because that is an essential part of our worship. Not only because that's how Jesus taught us to pray, but in the Lord's Prayer, we find all of these little prayers within the big prayer. And have you ever noticed that where we pray together, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us? Other translations read, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Still another translation reads, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgiveness extended to us by God and forgiveness that we extend to the neighbor are one sentence. They are not separate from each other. They are not a cause and effect. Forgiveness by God means forgiveness of neighbor. And yet it's so easy and it feels so good sometimes to hold on to our grudges, doesn't it? It feels so good and it makes us feel like we're in power, that we're in control, that we've got this authority when we say, I'm not going to let this go. I'm going to hold on to this resentment. I'm going to hold on to this bitterness because it makes me feel good. It makes me feel like I've got some kind of power. And when Peter asks Jesus about what it means to forgive over and over and over again, he is actually referring to a passage from the book of Leviticus, chapter 19. It's the passage from which we get the command, love your neighbor as yourself. And in this passage, the writer of the Torah and of Leviticus actually uses in verse 18 a commandment not to hold a grudge. Not to hold a grudge against a neighbor. Friends, this idea of forgiving our brothers and sisters, it did not start at the cross. It culminated at the cross, and we try to live that out in our lives all these years later. But the forgiveness and this idea of letting go of that which entraps us and enslaves us to the past is something that goes far, far back in our history as the people of God. Earlier, we joined in the canticle of Miriam and Moses, which was a celebration after they had crossed through the Red Sea and God had delivered them from slavery in Egypt, delivered them from Pharaoh's army. That song was one of praise for deliverance from captivity. Our history as the people of God is being saved over and over, being delivered over and over, being forgiven over and over. And when we choose to hold grudges, when we choose not to extend forgiveness, we are hurting the heart of God. Listen to what Jesus says the consequences in today's parable. In verse 34, in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Those are two really intense verses, and you're probably sitting there thinking, this is a really intense sermon also. This is pretty serious stuff. And yes, it is, friends, because forgiveness is so serious in the eyes of God. The ways in which we let go of our resentments matter to God because we cannot fully be who God called us to be until we let go of those things that entrap us and enslave us. Notice what happened in today's parable. The one who was set free of an insurmountable debt turned around and was and enslaved somebody else. the one who was set free, enslaved not only someone else, but found himself enslaved once again. When we hold on to unforgiveness, when we do not do as Jesus tells us to forgive from our heart, we are just going backwards into that captivity, into that slavery, into the thing that God gave his only son for to pay the price so that we might be free. This is something that matters to God. That's why it's at the heart of why we worship every week. When we come to the communion table, the first thing we do before we ever walk out of our pews is we confess our sins as a church. Confession and forgiveness of sin is often woven into our worship service because we must remember how far we have come, not by our own power, but by the power of Jesus Christ imparted to us. Right after this passage ends, and we may think, wow, this ended pretty harshly today. And yeah, like I said, this is intense. This is serious. But after this passage ends, if you go on and study the verses that follow, Jesus goes to another area and he heals people. He heals the sick. He heals the brokenhearted. Healing follows forgiveness. Healing of relationships follows the forgiveness of wrong in those relationships. Healing in our communities follow when we confess our sins and where we have been wrong. When we fully extend forgiveness to each other, when we confess daily that we forgive and we do so from our hearts, we may not see it right away, but we experience healing as God's people, just as Jesus did for all of those whom he encountered. And yet sometimes we just have to wake up every morning and forgive ourselves and forgive each other again and again and again. And we may feel like that we're just getting caught in those branches with Sister Margaret Ann. But there is progress happening. There is good happening anytime we are willing to proclaim that we are a people who forgive. 2 years and 3 months ago today, in Charleston, South Carolina, there was a Bible study taking place at Emmanuel AME Church. And in the basement of the church, a group of parishioners had gathered with their pastor to study the Bible. And in walked a visitor, someone that nobody had seen before. They welcomed him. They asked him to take a seat. For an hour, they studied the Bible together. And this young visitor was there with them, listening, studying with them. And when the service was over, when the study had ended, and they were getting ready to leave, the visitor reached in his bag, and he pulled out a rifle, and he opened gunfire in the basement of that church. And by the end of that night, 9 people had been killed because of the color of their skin. Less than 48 hours later, Dylan Ruff was brought before a judge for arraignment. And the families of some of those victims came to the courtroom to face him. And one after another, they got up. The first one got up and looked in the eyes of the man who had taken her mother from her and said, "If God forgives you, I forgive you." The next one stood up and said, "Repent, confess, give your life to Christ, change your ways. I want you to be saved." Another, who lost her daughter, looked at him and said, "May God have mercy on you." The granddaughter of one of the victims stepped forward and said, "I just want to thank this court for making sure that hate doesn't win." And the last one who got up said, "We have no room for hating. We have to forgive. And I will pray to God for your soul." Every single one of these persons, these relatives of those who lost their loved ones to a violent act of hate, the last thing that Dylan Ruff heard them say to him was, "I forgive you. May God have mercy. May God grant you grace." Friends, in the face of that kind of hatred and that kind of loss, if these 5 brothers and sisters of ours could get up and say, "I forgive you," shouldn't we be able to do the same to ourselves, to our brothers, our sisters, to those who are our neighbors. With the help of Jesus Christ, we can do so. We may have to say it over and over again. I have no doubt that these brothers and sisters probably still have to get up daily and exercise forgiveness. But they do, and they did. And so should we. To the glory of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, blessed three in one, now and forever. Amen.